We are glad that God has watched over us, blessed us, taken care of us, and given us the presence of mind to come this morning to worship Him and say again, thank you. We sing those songs lively. We appreciate so very much the work of those who go and come before I do. We've come to share a few words with you from God's sacred oracular, His holy book called the Bible. We're delighted to see all of you who have come this morning. We appreciate so very much our guests who are here. You're a member of the Lord's Church. We welcome you. If you're not a member of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, we also welcome you. And we want to encourage you to take some of the literature that you find on the tables as you leave and read it. Read it, check it out, believe it when you read it, and obey it. Want to share again, encouraging you to make your calling and election sure. Read your Bible for yourself. After all, preachers, you want to make sure that when you stand before God at the final roundup of human affairs, that he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. We know that Jesus chose 12 apostles to teach, to train. And then after he left the earth, he sent back the Holy Spirit that would guide them in all truth to preach his word here, there, and yon. They did their work. 12 men preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. All of the men spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit, which indicates to us that they preached the same thing everywhere they went. They established the same church everywhere that they went, and a church was established. Therefore, Jesus met with them final time and said, teach my word whatsoever I have commanded. That's critical. I have commanded. If you don't receive it by the power of the Holy Spirit that my Father is going to send to you, which will bring to your remembrance everything that I've taught you, don't preach it. Preach only what the Holy Spirit guides your heart to teach. We have a church here and a church there, here, church there, church. And many people just believe what the preacher says without checking behind what the preacher says. Take your Bible. Read your Bible. Study it. Believe it. Receive it. Obey it. The apostles established one church, same church, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why are you taking that time? Because I want you to read that. You might go to sleep on me on my sermon. Peace. All is well. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. That's in the New Testament. Starting with verse number 1. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue, live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, for that reason, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of his Father or of the Father, even so we also shall do what? Walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, from now on, we should not serve sin. Shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue in sin a little bit longer? Question mark. Never again to die. Never again to die. Isn't that good news? We walk with the Lord as we sojourn here on planet Earth. Death comes, and the body that we walked in, that God gave us to walk on planet Earth, goes back to where it came from. We, the individual that God has called out of the body, goes back to him. And God raises it up, wherever he keeps the spirit. At the judgment day, Revelation chapter 20, where we are judged, and if we have walked with the Lord on planet Earth, we hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Faith is an act of commitment. Reiterating, faith is an act of commitment. To every man his work, to every woman her work. God has a plan for your life just as definite as he had a plan for his son Jesus Christ when he came to earth. Just like he had for Abraham, Moses, Peter, James, John. God has a plan for your life, our life. When we were baptized into Christ, those of us who have been baptized into Christ and the body of Christ, according to the scriptures, we left the old life behind, or we were supposed to. And when we came up out of the water, we entered into the new life of grace in Christ Jesus. It's a serious thing. When we hear the word of God, believe it, receive it, and obey it, and we are buried in water baptism, it's a joyously serious thing. Now we must walk circumspectly. Walk according to the will of God. Know the will of God, and then walk therein. When we were baptized in Christ, as I said heretofore, we left our old life behind. And when we came up out of the water, we entered into the new life of grace in Christ Jesus. When we were lowered into the water and baptized, new life, grace, life. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus Christ. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, do godly things. How? How else? God's way. Do not allow sin any longer to distract you, to dictate to you. We are in the new country of God's grace. We were included in Jesus' work that he did while here, when he died on the cross. We come up out of the water, new creatures in Christ Jesus. Therefore, We are included in his life-saving resurrection. Never again, never again will death have the last word in the Christian's life. Now, in reality, death will not have the last word in anybody's life, because you're going to live somewhere. But it's called death. But you're alive. We are living life in heaven with the Lord when we walk with the Lord, and we have obeyed the gospel and walk therein. We are, and as long as we are on earth, I want you to be buried in water baptism. We are to have the mindset that we are dead to sin and alive to God. Do not give sin a place any longer in your life. You have been raised from the dead, the death of sin. We are to live at our highest by the grace of God, and to live at our best by God's loving kindness. Therefore, put forth the effort, endeavor to find that plan and that God has for you, and devote all of your powers in trying to become and live the life that God has called you, us, to it. Acts chapter 9. Come with me there. The book of Acts chapter 9. And the book of Acts, that's in the New Testament for those of you who have Bibles. Of course, you already knew that, didn't you? Acts chapter 9. Commence with verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of that way. Oh. Stay on board now, because this is very interesting. Now, notice verse 9. The second word in verse 9 says what? Saul. Is that in your Bible? 9? 9. You're in Acts chapter 9? Verse 1? Verse 1? And the second word in verse 9 is what? Saul. Not Paul. Saul. This is prior to. If his name is Saul, this is prior to what? His conversion. Saul was he was deadly serious about the life that he was living. He was absolutely convinced that he was doing the right thing. And you know what he was doing? Killing Christians. Because this is Saul, not Paul. This is Saul, who became Paul after he was converted. And he was dedicated to what he was doing. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. That's in your Bible? Went unto the high priest. And I just referenced this last week, and just reading over it. So very, very interesting in this man's life. He was deadly serious about what he was doing. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was saved. Watch this. He went into the priest and the high priest. Why are you going there, Saul? Verse 2 tells us. And desired of him letters of Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, if he found any folks where he wants to go that are Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He hated Christianity, hated Christians. And as he journeyed, he came near his destination, Damascus. And suddenly, he was interrupted. There shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why are you doing this? And he says, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am who? I am Jesus, whom thou what? Persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. You can't defeat righteousness. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I mean, this is the bad man. Everybody was scared of him that would not, especially Christians, that is, was afraid of him as far as killing them. And he loved doing that. And the Lord, middle part of verse 6, and the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, go on down there where you to Damascus, where you were headed, and it shall be told unto you what you must do. Notice the word M-U-S-T. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. They heard a voice, but they didn't see anyone. Saul arose from the earth, and when he arose, he couldn't see. Not only did Christ stop him, he also blinded him at the same time. He saw no man, but they led him. They led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. This is that bad, terrible man that's going around killing Christians, and everybody is scared of him, except folk who are not Christians. And he was there 3 days without sight. Neither did eat anything. 3 days, you're accustomed to sin. When you open your eyes, you want to see. Bad shape. Scary. This bad man, God can calm you down. And there was a certain district, verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus by the name of Ananias, who was a Christian. And to him said the Lord in a vision, to Ananias, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming up, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. That's you, Ananias. But Ananias is a little bit skeptical because he knows about this man called Saul. He kills Christians. Verse 13. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard it by many regarding this man, of this man, how much evil he hath done to your saints in Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priests to do what? To bind, to lock up all that call on your name or thy name. But the Lord encouraged him. But the Lord said unto him, Go, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Isn't that, Lord, something? Powerful God. Amen, church. He is a chosen and vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias, the Lord encouraged him and enabled him to go on down where he told him to go. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on Saul, or him, said, Brother Saul. He addressed him as brother. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as you came on your camels, etc., etc., to receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, he sent me to teach you the gospel so that you can be converted. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were, had been scales, the scales, they were as scales, weren't scales. And he rose and was what? You notice he didn't give any argument. He didn't give any disagreement. He didn't say, wait a minute, what you doing? No. He arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway, immediately, what did he start doing? He began to preach the same gospel that just a little while ago he was killing people for even believing it, let alone teaching it and preaching it. When we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have been called by God. The big quest of life. The big quest of life. We are to find the work that God would have us to do as we live on planet Earth. What spiritual family does God require us to be supportive of, a member of? Jesus sent his disciples, told them, don't go anywhere until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it's going to guide you into all truth, and it's going to bring everything that I've taught you to your remembrance. I don't want you to make any mistakes in preaching my gospel. And whosoever believe it, receive it, and obey it, I'll save them. The big quest, again, the big quest of life is whether or not we have heard what the Bible says and obeyed what the Bible says. The words that God has for us. Where will you leave when God calls you off the scene of time into eternity? You want to be sure of your calling and election. You want to be sure that you have heard the word of God, believed the word of God, and obeyed the word of God, just as this man Saul, whose name was changed to Paul. We are included in his sin-conquering death. We are included in his life, in his life-saving resurrection. Question. What is the greatest trait? What is the greatest trait in human character? The greatest trait in human character is faithfulness to the will and to the word and to the will of God. We are no longer slaves to sin when we obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, Paul began here with the concept of identification, of our union with Christ. At your leisure, read Romans chapter 6. Start with verse 1 and read all, at least the first 8 verses. Paul's point is that this union with Jesus Christ, this union with Jesus Christ, no matter what you may think or what others may say, it's real. It's real. Obey it. Death comes to those who are saints. Physical death. Spiritual death is when you don't obey the will of God and you die in that state. Christ, his death was our death. In Christ, faithfulness is very critical. And his resurrection, his death is our death. His resurrection is also our resurrection. New creatures in Christ Jesus. Read for yourself. We won't take the time to do it here. Read for yourself, again rather. Read for yourself what we've read this morning in your Bible called the Book of Acts, chapter 8. And the verse there says, starting that verse 1, there is therefore now what? No condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us, what? Free from the law of sin and death. Ain't that good news? Excuse me, isn't that good news? Verse 3 says, for what the law couldn't do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful and sin, condemn sin in his flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? He's a brand new creature. Being in Christ is very, very essential. We have passed from death to life. The power of death hath no hold on us anymore. We die in favor with God Almighty. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Being in Christ is the very root and essence of the new life. We are not in a situation where death any longer has the power over us. Yes, God calls us out of this world, but he calls us out of this world, and we don't go. Those who are righteous don't go to the same place Amen. That the folk who are unrighteous go. I believe we have a phrase, and it's used frequently. And I think they may even have a song about it. I'll rise again. That's somewhere they got a song about it. I'll rise. That's us. Rise again. There's no power on earth that can do what? There's no power on earth that can tie me down. I'll rise again. And so we will. So we will. As we wrap this up, listen carefully. We share in Christ's triumph over the forces of death and hell. Because we are Christians, we triumph over everlasting death. You see, because when the faithful Christian die, that's everlasting life. When the ungodly person dies, that's everlasting death. And that death simply means separation. No longer with the Lord. No longer walking with the Lord. Mm-mm. Just as sin and death could not hold Jesus in their clutches, they have no power over those who walk with the Lord. Come now. Come now. If you believe the Bible that we've shared, the gospel that we've shared with you in the Bible, if you believe that gospel, now is the time to act upon that belief, because no, we don't know when we're going to be called off the planet, off the planet of time, into eternity. Come now, persons who are not members of the body of Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Look again, one Lord, one faith. You say, well, I go down, I see church here, the church. I know you do that, but read your Bible. Read your Bible. How many different churches did the apostles establish? The last apostle that died was John. Every apostle preached by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit after our Lord and Savior Jesus left planet Earth. Jesus said specifically to them after his resurrection, go ye there and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded it. Make sure. If you believe that you are saved, make sure that you are saved according to what you can read. Because this is the book that's going to be, according to Revelation chapter 20, this is the book that's going to be open at the final roundup of human affairs. I think they died this past week. A very famous man was put to rest. Some of the announcers called him the nation's preacher. The nation's preacher. If you died in a church that this man authorized or started, whatever, or encouraged, it's not in the Bible. If you can't read it, don't receive it. If you cannot read it, don't receive it. What do you do? Where are you now? If you can read about your church in the Bible, stay there. If you can't read about your church in the Bible, that the same church of the apostles preached, it's moving time. Amen. While you yet have life. Well, how do I do that, preacher? You've heard the word of God. It's very simple. It's not difficult. Believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And his apostles preached by the power of the Holy Spirit, because he told them, don't you go anywhere, preaching anywhere, teaching anybody, until you are endowed with the power from on high. So go to Jerusalem and stay there. They followed his instruction in Acts chapter 1. And then in Acts chapter 2, we found that 10 days later, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in glory. And they began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit gave them word. That's in your Bible. You can read it for yourself, Acts chapter 2. Believe Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son. Repent of your sins. Be godly sorrowful for the life that you've lived contrary to the will of God. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. Then what happens? The Bible says, when you do that, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, God adds you to. You see, you don't join the church on your own. God adds you to the church of Christ. Amen. And that's in your Bible. God liberates. God elevates. And God compensates. Let me do that again. I like that. God liberates, frees us from the sin and from the stains and the chains and the pains of our past life. God elevates us. He embraces us and lifts us up to reign with him. God educates, gives us wise counsel and future direction. And we got it every day, but we have to open the book and read it. God compensates. He fills areas where we are weak or lack and need some help. Not only that, he motivates. He is our source of vision, hope, and purpose. God regenerates. He transforms us to live on a higher level that pleases him. And lastly, God activates. He commissions us to obey and move forward in his cause. Where do you stand tonight, this morning? I haven't preached that long. Watch it. We don't know. In most cases, or maybe not in many cases, we don't know when exactly we're going to run out of opportunities. When we're going to leave this world. Many students went to class a few days ago expecting to go back home when the bell rings. They never made it. We don't know where hell is. So the question is, are you prepared? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to obey his gospel? Let him add you to his family, the Church of Christ. and live a life that's well-pleasing unto him. Are you ready for the judgment day? You can get ready right now. You can get ready right now, which means today. And that would be wisdom. That would be wisdom. Because we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow might hold. Those students didn't know what their tomorrow held. You've heard his word. Do you believe it? Are you sorrowful of the life that you've lived contrary to his will? Are you willing to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior and be buried in water baptism for the remission of your sins and add it to the church of Christ? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through verse 40. The decision, I can only share with you what thus saith the word of God. It is you, just like it was me at one time. You must make your own decision. No one can make that decision for me, and no one can make it for you. You're the only one. If you're in the body of Christ, that means that you made the decision. You made the decision. God has blessed us to gather together today. He has blessed us to be present in the worship of him. He has blessed me to do the best I could with that he gave me, blessed me with. I had to spend some night oil, of course. You say, I didn't know that. Well, you know it now. It's your move. It's your move. No one else in this building can make it for you. If you're in the body, if you're in the body of Christ, love yourself. Love yourself, but most of all, love God. If you love God first, you second, you want to take care of you. Amen. He tells us how to do that. How do we allow people who are going to die just like us influence us to do that which is contrary to he who has control forever and power forever and also the opportunity for us to live a glorious life on planet Earth, irrespective of how challenging it may be, and then live forever with him? You say, well, I plan to do that. Oh, so you have a letter from heaven saying that I'm not going to let you die until you get ready to make the move. We don't know that. The day you hear my voice, that's what he says. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. You want to make sure that heaven will one day welcome you to come home. If you're already in the body, if you're faithful, wonderful. If you're not faithful, renew your covenant. Rededicate your life. Rededicate your life. No human being can die in your stead. Therefore, don't allow any human being to influence you that you are not faithful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Decision is yours as we together stand. And I'll wait for you right here. Come on down.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling.
Jesus is calling.
Calling for you and
calling,
for
calling,
me.
Calling, calling, come.
See
Do you hear
on
his call?
The portals he's
Do you
waiting
hear his call?
And
Will you be watching, mindful of his call?
Watching for you and for me.